Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the challenge of graduating from being influenced by the five corporeal senses as opposed to the divine creation. Listen as we discuss the benefits of gaining the spiritual perspective of life and how to accomplish the task at hand. In this show, we will explore what it means to be one with the divine principle. The first commandment is recorded in Exodus 20, verse 3. End quotes, "You shall have no other gods before me." End of the quote. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and eliminate the strange gods before me. Swami, the title of today's show is Balancing Sense Testimony with Divine Idea. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, what we're trying to learn how to do here is exactly that. Try and work through what is appearing in your material senses, and at the same time, keeping your mind in constant relation with the divine idea. There's been a trend in the collective consciousness to be mindful. And this can be a wonderful suggestion when applied correctly. To get the benefit of mindfulness, one must understand what they are mindful of, and just as important, what they are mindful with. Here we work with the formula, consciousness is experience. Whatever we are experiencing is what we are conscious of. And there's a measurable difference between the experience of one conscious of the mental material world of energy and one conscious of the divine creation. It must also be understood, the mind we are using to get us through this lifetime can't bring forth the divine image. Therefore, the term repent in the Bible, which means think differently. It doesn't mean plead for forgiveness.
So I'd like to talk a little bit more about that phrase, consciousness is experience. So let's just say I'm having a great day, everything's flowing pretty well, harmonious and so forth. Now, do I assume my level of consciousness is bringing this forth, or do I chalk this up to just good karma?
Well, yeah. See, what's appearing in our corporeal senses is like the monitor. We realize this external experience is a mental image. But we also know all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine. Like you say, just because you're having a good day doesn't mean you're conscious of the divine creation. Because in the framework of the mental material world of energy is a balance of good and evil, right and wrong. It's duality. The divine creation is absolute goodness. There's no polar opposite in spirit. And so the goal here is to come out of the belief in the two powers, come out of the good and evil world of constant change into the divine experience of one being, one life, perfect, whole, complete, fulfilled.
Swami, you had stated that the mind that we're born with can't bring forth the divine image. So somebody listening to that for the first time might say to themselves, well, if I can't bring forth divine consciousness, then why should I bother? I guess I'll just continue to use my mental material means to get whatever I need to get through this lifetime.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is going to depend on what you're trying to accomplish, because you can stay in the cycle of death and rebirth indefinitely. And for a lot of people, as long as they can get more of the pleasures and profits of this human mortal experience, they're happy. But for those of us who want to go the distance, we're looking for liberation from the law of karma, then we're going to need divine truth, because the mortal mind can't free itself from its own creation. And the mortal mind runs on this belief in two powers. The divine mind is absolute. In divine truth, there's no opposition. All of the things we are accustomed to experiencing at this human sense level of awareness changes dramatically when we open up our spiritual sense, because spirit functions in a completely different medium. Spirit is absolute, whereas the mortal sense is rational. The mortal sense works on contrast. Divine truth works in oneness. So things like time, space, in spirit, there's no time. In mortal sense, there's now and then. There's no space in spirit. Everything is everywhere, always in spirit. And so unless we have a willingness to come out of the mind that is creating this false sense of existence, then we will continue to repeat this dream state, this hypnotic state that we're in. At some point, because of, like you say, the karma, the wrath of God is really the love of God, not letting us accept this false, limited sense of life. And so we continue to have problems. Once we get tired of the pain, the discomfort, the lack, the limitation, all of the things we would consider to be disagreeable or inharmonious or unpleasant even, fall under the heading of this mortal sense of existence. Now, of course, like we have discovered, there is finite good. But finite good is still under that same rule that it will change. Whereas divine law is absolute, changeless, eternal, complete. There's no trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or even asking. And so now what we do is we just use the testimony of our senses to give us clues as to what am I conscious of. So it becomes more like the monitor. It's the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness.
Say we look around our environment and we see that something isn't quite what we would like. We see some discord or disharmony or something like that. And so you're saying the first thing we need to do is to repent, to think differently. So how do we think differently with the mind that can't bring forth this divine creation? What do you suggest we do?
Well, that's what we've been saying, is we stop thinking. We stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the corporeal senses. We separate our influence from that external environment, and we make our mind aware for the presence of the divine creation. Now, of course, like we've been saying, we start with a belief in the divine creation. If you believe that God, the omnipresent divine perfection of being, is right here and right now functioning, then you have a starting point. Now, what we know about that is that it's invisible and intangible to corporeal sense. So as long as we're forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the material senses, we actually create an interference pattern. We short-circuit the divine word that is ever flowing through consciousness. When we create this interference pattern, we're being influenced by the five material sense testimony. But in silence and stillness, when you make your mind aware for the presence of the invisible, intangible, omnipresence, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let this divine truth illuminate our thought. When divine truth reveals itself to you from within, then the panel is wired. You're no longer trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or even asking. You're resting in the knowledge of this divine revelation where you see the truth. You know the truth. Life is perfect. You're no longer in the mind that thinks, but you have now risen above corporeal sense. And you're conscious of this divine principle, this divine truth. And then that divine truth in consciousness will resolve things into thoughts and exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. Now, this is the dynamics of what appears to be to mortal sense as the miracle. In truth, all it is doing is revealing the truth of the divine creation. The difference between the mental material concept of life is that runs on belief. The divine creation is under the jurisdiction of spiritual power. Spirit is the only self-existent power in this universe. Everything else gets its appearance of power from belief.
Well, that reminds me of a saying I hear you say all the time, and that is, the mind can't free itself from its own creation. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and this is true whether you're talking about the mortal mind with a small m or the divine mind with a capital M. The question here is to determine, which do I serve? Do I serve spirit or flesh? Which do I feed? Do I draw from fear and limitation, or do I draw from truth and wholeness? And we'll know the answer by the fruits, because you can't get figs from thistle. Whatever it is that is appearing in our material senses is what we are conscious of. Now remember, thinking about is not the same as being conscious of. And that's why we use the formula, consciousness is experience. And the other thing is, what are we thinking with? Am I thinking with those five corporeal senses out from this personal mortal sense mind that I think I have? Or am I thinking through the divine mind? Am I that place where divine mind is expressing itself through me as me? Because we know spirit testifies with deeds, not words. And the message of the Christ is, heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. I make everything new. So you just observe what is appearing in your senses, and that will tell you whether you sow to the flesh or to the spirit.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Asana Class is a module fitting into the master plan, leading the practitioner to the experience of total consciousness by attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea, a system of exercises designed to use the physical appearance to determine individual level of consciousness and degree of awareness, starting with the process of lengthening and strengthening muscles to bring bones into the position of internal support. We educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, because when spirit is cause, it calls into expression the beauty of holiness, making creation perfect. Mountain pose may not bring you truth in consciousness, but truth in consciousness must bring mountain pose. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So let's discuss now the benefits of gaining the spiritual perspective of life and how to go about accomplish that task at hand.
Yeah, well, I think the benefit of spiritual perspective is you're starting with the perfection of being. You're starting out with the divine creation, held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of absolute perfect life. Now, how to attain that is more of the challenge, I would say, because for me, I refer to the hero's journey, which involves the separation, the journey, and the return. I also use the Christian myth, the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, and the reunion with the Father, or even the idea of caterpillar, chrysalis, butterfly. The process in human development is critical in spiritual development, because only reason walks through the open door of revelation. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy makes the seeker find this information in her teaching, because she knows this work is not for the idly curious or casually interested. And for me, a perfect example of this is found on page 114 in Science and Health, where she writes, and I'll read it, "In divine science, the universe, including man, is spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. Science shows that what is termed matter is but the subjective state of what is termed by the author mortal mind." End of quote. Then on page 115, she introduces the scientific translation of immortal mind as God, man, and idea, then lays out the scientific translation of mortal mind with 3 degrees. 1, depravity, physical. 2, evil beliefs disappearing, moral. And 3, understanding, spiritual. Now again, for me, wherever you get it from, there are stages in development that must be attained in order to experience the liberation from material law. And also, I would say that you could rest assured, until you are healing the sick, reforming sinner, raising the dead, what Jesus called preaching the gospel, that you are still under the influence of your 5 material sense mind. And you have not separated from the mind that can't bring forth this divine image.
So I think this leads us right into the verse that we have in the summary, the first commandment from Exodus 20, verse 3. I'll read it. "You shall have no other gods before me." End of the verse. What can you tell us about that? What should we learn?
Yeah, I think collectively we can accept this idea of one God. And humanly, that seems to be the direction that we have taken, as religion seems to have done for thousands of years. As we discover this approach gives us the promise of Scripture, but not the God experience. The major reason is because we can't bring forth the divine image with the mortal mind. And unless we walk reason through the open door of revelation, we continue to worship an external God. Only Christ knows the divine will. And without the mind of Christ, we're trying to get email with a calculator. Unless we understand what it looks like when we graduate from thinking with our five material senses to knowing with our seven spiritual senses, we will continue to be under this karmic law. We will continue to be living under the belief of two powers. In truth, there is no balancing the outer with the inner, because when divine truth is the only consciousness, the outer and the inner are one. Herb Fitch, in Revelation of St. John, Class 1, wrote, and I'll read it, "And now this message of the Spirit comes as fresh as the day it uttered itself through John to say that I am a message only for those who by their way of life are determined to serve Christ and Christ alone. Others who will read this message will receive nothing from it. Others who have not dedicated themselves to serving the truth have read this message and have received nothing from it. And the reason is that there is no capacity to receive this truth except in one who, through the desire to be a servant, has been opened up from within so that their faculties of soul are ready to receive, to pour forth, and to be responsive to the Master's voice." The end of that quote.
So, Swami, I think he's saying the same thing we were saying earlier, that it depends which mind that we're working with here, because he does say that there's no capacity to receive this truth except in one who, through the desire to be a servant, has opened up from within. So I'm thinking that might be what we've been talking about, having the mind of Christ.
Right. And what he said has been opened up from within. So it's actually this divine revelation that does the work. It's no longer my will anymore. As our thought becomes more and more influenced by the divine idea, and your identity shifts from physical to mental to eventually spiritual, because in spiritual identity, we are in oneness. And so the experience of the one perfect divine being looking at itself, as itself, of itself, to itself, becomes your reality. This was something that we even talked about, the idea of the fall from Eden in the Bible, where the devil says to Eve, "You will know what God doesn't know." And that's the truth, because God has no idea what's going on with this mortal sense of existence. God is running a perfect universe. And when we ask God to do something for us, we violate spiritual law, because there is no human experience. Everything is perfect, whole, complete, and spiritual.
Swami, I'm going to continue to read this work by Herb Fitch from Revelation of St. John. "This then as now was the message only for those who seek the ultimate glory of Christ consciousness, for what is required of them will be possible. And what is required of them is impossible for those who are not ready for that degree of service to the truth. To be a servant of the Most High is a complete emptying out of my desires, my wishes, my ambitions, my limitations, my fears. To be a servant is to be dead unto the self, to be alive only to the Christ, to awaken, to turn, to repent, to put Christ first, foremost, last, and always. That's why you have a very small percentage on earth who are ready to find the Christ. This is not a service in which you can divide your interest. It demands all that you are, and it gives you all that it is in return. End of the quote. Boy, I think he really lays it right out for us, doesn't he, Swami?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really like about the work Herb Fitch does, is that it just is so in tune with the truth. It's like reading Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures for me, because there isn't anything Mary Baker Eddy says that doesn't fit perfectly into this truth of being. But more and more, we're starting to see our responsibility in being able to initiate a process that enables us to actualize an experience. And when you put healing on the table, that gives you a litmus test. Prior to really knowing Christian Science, being spiritual was very obscure. And most of the people that you encounter are, quote unquote, spiritually awakened, and yet at the same time, their lives are in shambles. They're having problems physically, financially, relationship-wise. You got to wonder, well, what is the benefit of being spiritually awakened if it's no different than being mortally asleep? This, to me, is what in Revelations is, looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. We think we're spiritual, but we're still living out from that mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And so the things we start to learn is, what am I conscious of? And what am I thinking with? How am I thinking? Am I thinking with these five material senses? Or am I knowing with the seven spiritual senses?
And it's what you've been saying for years and years, put God first. And I know we've been working with that, and we also be working with not my will, but thy will. And I think that sums up what Herb Fitch is trying to tell us.
Also the experience of oneness, not one God and all of us, but one being looking at itself, as itself, of itself, and to itself. Because that mind of many, that mortal sense of existence, will dissolve in the light of divine truth. But until, like Herb Fitch says, and the reason is that there is no capacity to receive this truth except in one who, through the desire to be a servant, has been opened from within, so that their faculties of soul are ready to receive, to pour forth, and to be responsive to the Master's voice. That's so important that we must prepare ourselves for this opening that happens when divine truth reveals itself in consciousness, the birth of Christ in consciousness. That's a real experience. And unless you really know what it is that you're looking for to actualize this experience, and what are all of the things I have to have in place in order to induce this God experience? One of the reasons why I really like the Kriya Yoga we teach, because there's no sense reinventing the wheel. You have a tried and true system for initiating this process in development that leads to the opening of spiritual truth in consciousness.
That wraps our show up for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. As you scroll down any of those pages, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understandings. Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and eliminate the strange gods before me. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.